How can ordinary, everyday people who were not born into wealthy or privileged families, who didn't have parents growing up who were in positions to support them financially, become wealthy? Well, in today's episode, this is the question that I am sharing my perspectives on, as well as highlighting the differences that I have come to learn between being rich and being wealthy. This is going to be a great episode. You don't want to miss it. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello and welcome back to the Money Mindset Podcast. Today, friend, I am talking about being rich versus being wealthy, because I believe that most people confuse wealthy as rich, or perhaps better said, rich as wealthy. People often confuse the two, and few actually understand the difference between the two. This is because our society, especially our media, have convinced us that the portrayal of a wealthy person is that of someone who perhaps is living in a big giant McMansion, driving a luxury car, perhaps has a yacht, spends their time in their summers in St. Barts and goes skiing in the Swiss Alps. I'm sure you're getting the picture here. Well, the picture I just painted, in my opinion, is not that of a wealthy person, but of a rich person. Because when it comes to wealth, wealth is often money not spent on things or luxuries, but on assets. You can be rich and not have much wealth, and you can be wealthy and not look rich at all. To be honest, I have heard so many different variations and heard so many different perspectives on wealth. And as I often do, look, I take and I keep the ones that resonate with me, that feel like truth to me, and I simply let go of the ones that don't. So if anything in here that I speak about today resonates with you, then, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But I wanted to share because I recently listened to an audiobook called The Almanac of Naval Ravikant. In case you haven't heard of Naval before, I highly recommend jumping onto YouTube and typing in how to be rich. And, you know, the title of the YouTube podcast, he even says, he goes, I wish I could have put in a different title to this, but it was a way of just getting people's attention. But essentially what he speaks about is the opposite of being rich, which is ultimately being wealthy. And so he defines wealth as the byproduct of knowledge. He also describes it as wealth is assets that earn while you sleep. Money is how we transfer wealth, and status is the ranking in the social hierarchy. His perspectives on wealth stuck with me because often we perceive people who present themselves in a materialistic way as wealthy people, when what they are really doing is ultimately controlling your perception of themselves as rich or successful, or as someone who's in control of their lives. I see this so often on social media, especially when young entrepreneurs who begin to make large sums of money and start immediately showing their followers and showing off, you know, their new car, their new house, their next trip in business class to some beautiful location. Now, of course, do not get me wrong. I am not trying to shame anyone online for how they should be celebrating their success or how they should be spending their money. What I am trying to explain is that this type of behavior is not the example of wealth. It's an example of status climbing. And what concerns me is that our society then deems this as the benchmark for making it. And I'm using like air quote marks right here. And I believe that when it comes to true wealth, our society has it all wrong. In another one of my favorite book, The Millionaire Next Door, again, if you haven't already read this book, go grab it. I'm sure you'll find it in a local library. It's an old book, but so many of the principles and lessons in it still hold true today. In this book, they explain that wealth is not the same as income. If you make a good income but spend it all, you are not getting any wealthier. You are just living high. Wealth is what you accumulate, not what you spend. And I think that somewhere along the way, people have become distracted by the shiny new thing and have forgotten the purpose of making it. Again, I'm using those air quote marks. You know, that $1 million goal of building a business was ultimately, eventually, to buy back their time and freedom. And this is why I often use the quote with my clients that people often give up what they want most for what they want now. What people want most is their time and freedom. What they want now is the ability to spend their money without hesitation on things that they believe they need and want. They ultimately spend their money on these things that they think they need and want because they want to be able to feel a certain way now. What they want most, though, is financial security. But what they think they want now is money, or more money in most cases. Making more money will not make you wealthy if you continuously and consistently continue to spend more than you are making. It's simple math, my friend. If you spend more than you make, you will always be buying into the belief that you just need to make more money. And that's what you'll just keep chasing, more and more and more of that. But time will continue to pass you by. You know, this is why I get so passionate about helping people to understand that if you just switched your mindset from how can I make more money instead to how can I make more money work for me? This is the kind of mindset that is going to allow you to begin to see the pathway towards building what you really want, which is long-term wealth. Because anyone can figure out how to make more money, but very few have the skill set to make money work for them. This is why Naval's definition struck a chord with me, because when I reflect back on what it was that changed it for me, why is my mindset so different to so many people? I realized that it was the knowledge that I built up over many, many, many years, sometimes unconsciously building up this mindset, that ultimately allowed me to then piece together the pathway to financial time freedom. And I say this as an assumption, but I of course imagine, or better yet, I presume that you may think that the only knowledge that you're going to need is to develop your financial knowledge. I would say that you of course are not wrong, but this is also not the only area that you need to develop if you want to build wealth. If your goal is to build long-term wealth, then there are many other areas that you also need to develop your knowledge and understanding in. And I believe that we can break this down into three categories, or at least I broke this down into three categories. And so let me break this down for you here today. They are, number one, money management. You first need to set the foundation for what you are building. And until you become extremely skilled at managing the money you make right now, ensuring that you are not spending in areas or on things that are ultimately wasteful, or don't perhaps, the way I like to look at it, is they don't provide a return, whether that be a return on value, basically, whether that be value in happiness or value in increasing your condition of life, be it through health and happiness. Number two, mindset. You have to develop your mindset to that of someone who will no longer buy into or invest their energy into thoughts and belief systems that ultimately don't serve them. To do this, you firstly need to understand what are the thoughts and beliefs that you are now buying into, and then begin the process of unlearning or redefining the belief into one that will build the mental momentum and help you stay aligned with your goal. Because of course, things are going to happen, but building that mindset is ultimately what I like to call building anchors, so that when things don't go your way, when things appear to not really go your way, sometimes things may not go our way. We don't realize though that they're happening for us, not happening to us. And so sometimes what we perceive as something bad having gone wrong is actually a miracle in disguise, right? So having those anchors when it comes to mindset, building that momentum, and staying aligned with your goals is what's ultimately going to help you out when you have those moments of doubt, when you have those moments of perceived failure. Number three, protection. Now, when I talk about protection, I don't just mean insurances. I mean, learn to protect yourself legally. If you begin with the right legal business structure, you could be not just protecting yourself from scammers or people who would perhaps sue you just to get something out of you, but you would also be protecting yourself from the ones that I like to call the tax pirates, who are always wanting more of your hard-earned money, who are ultimately also going to continuously come up with some new reason to tax you in a different way. Remember that rich people may want to look rich, but wealthy people don't want to own anything under their own name. Instead, they want to be able to control the asset and are the trustee and the beneficiaries of their assets. This is something that we can get into another day, but that's all I kind of wanted to let you know about that. So the question of the podcast today was, how do people become wealthy? Well, wealth is built through living a consistent lifestyle of smart or hard work, perseverance, planning, learning from mistakes, and gosh, have I made so many, self-discipline and risk management. When it comes to building wealth in Western countries, it's less about the type of family or the type of financial situation that you grew up with, and more about the knowledge that you gain that you then turn into wisdom when you start taking action, when you start taking risks, calculated risks, risks that have been managed, and building that mental and emotional resilience to those roadblocks, to those perceived failures. And it's about that's ultimately what will get you to that lifelong wealth building journey. As you can probably tell by the sound of my voice, financial education is something that I am super, super passionate about. I recently decided that I'm making it my mission to help 1,000 people or 1,000 men and women build long-term wealth and ultimately to develop a happy and healthy relationship with their money. I think that's sometimes even more important than building long-term wealth. So this is why I'm so committed to bringing you these bite-sized podcast episodes so that you can start to implement a new way of thinking about money, a new way of developing your mindset around money, and ultimately will help you to expand and increase your money IQ. So I hope you have enjoyed this episode as much as I have always enjoyed delivering it to you. As always, I am so thankful to have you here. I want to encourage you to share this episode with your family and friends so that we can, of course, help more people increase their financial and money IQ. If you are ready to take the next steps in your wealth building journey, I would love the opportunity to work with you. So check out my website, the link's in the description, anna-pereira.com, and let's have a chat about your options. Thank you so much for being here with me again. And until next time, thanks for listening and ciao for now.